This download is the only extract the BBC has of this edition of Desert Island Discs. The presenter was Roy Plumley.
I had a sort of social conscience from a very early age, and I really wanted to be a nurse. But at 15, I couldn't get my GCE in Latin. I went to see a sister at a hospital, and they said, unless you have Latin, you can't come and be in a, you know, you can't start your training as probation. He said, I've gotten anywhere, whatever it's called. Mm. So I sort of drifted towards being a ballet dancer, which I enjoyed very much. My mother wanted me to be a dancer because she was a dancer. And by 15, I was too tall. So it sort of, as I hadn't a very academic brain, it really left me with something using either my hands or my feet, but nothing to do with writing or reading or anything. So I wanted to design jewellery. And I did 4 months of that when I was still at school and realised the 9 to 5 hours were just not what I wanted, and I really wanted to be in the theatre. And so I wrote to every repertory company in England, and the peer at Bognor Regis wrote back and said, yes, we will have you as an ASM for £6.10 a week. And off I went.
Bravo. Making tea and playing all sorts of unsuitable parts.
Playing hundreds of unsuitable parts, including leads and boys, because there wasn't enough people in the car. Sometimes I used to, say, the last line of the play, rush off, pull the curtain closed, turn on the lights for the people to leave the theatre and put on God Save the Queen. So.
What was the very first part you played?
Dora in Night Must Fall.
For the maid?
Yes.
How long did you stay at Bognor?
6 months.
And then?
And then I moved on to the Oxford Playhouse.
Mm-hmm. This was a great change of pace.
Yes, more distinguished. And I was a student ASM there, and I earned 25 shillings a week. And I think I worked less hard, but was just as happy. In those days, I believe that, oh, the world was at my feet. I was full of hope, and I was very happy.
I'm sure you still are. But what was the next thing to happen?
Then I came to the Arts Theatre and started making tea again, and was just sort of general ASM and Dog's Body. And whilst I was there, Wolf Mankiewicz and Oscar Lewinstein had a play on there, and they saw me making the tea and said something like, you're a nice girl, we're putting on a musical, do you want to come and audition? So for weeks I rehearsed this number that I was going to do at the audition, which was My Heart Belongs to Daddy, which I sang, meaning every word of it, not knowing what it really meant, because I was very naive.
Yes.
And I starched my petticoats and ironed a white blouse and did my nut for about 10 minutes. And at the end of it, they said, yes, that's very, very nice. We'd like to have you just to make the tea and understudy the girls. I was a bit disappointed, rather expecting to have the lead in this musical. However, I got a nice cameo part, because one of the parts wasn't cast, of a sort of silly debutante, and she only had about 8 lines in it. But they were quite the best 8 lines I've ever been given, I think.
Mm-hmm. You stopped the show in Espresso Bongo.
Yes, about 6 times on the opening night, which was smashing.
Now, Susan, last year you married Pierre Granier-Roffert, who has a busy career in France as a film director, and you have a very busy career in London as an actress. How does this work? Can you ever be together?
Well, we're usually together for weekends, and we're never apart longer than 10 days. But it isn't satisfactory at all. It wouldn't have arisen except for when I married him. I knew that I had commitments for almost a year to come.
Mm-hmm.
And he had commitments in France.
Is there going to be any chance of you working together soon?
Yes, in the summer he goes to Canada to make a film for 4 months, and I shall go with him. I don't do much in the film, just play sort of a small cameo part of a nymphomaniac, but really, sooner or later we just got to decide to live in one country or the other, because it's not the best way to conduct
you're marriage. Rather in mid-channel at the moment.
Yes.
You were telling us you flew off to visit Dr. Schweitzer at his hospital. You have a very active social conscience.
Yes, the reason that I went to visit the doctor was I'd read an article in Life magazine which spoke of his reverence for life. I didn't have any affinity naturally with his great works or anything like that. And when I got there, I didn't go to, because I wanted to become a nurse, I just wanted to, in fact, meet him, which is an awful thing to do, isn't it? To be a sort of, to look in on life like that. I just wanted to meet him, and that's, in fact, what I did.
Yes. And you do, in fact, help some African children's education.
Yes, as a result of it, whilst I was there, a boy that was half Negro and half Greek said that the only thing that made his life worthwhile was the cinema. And having worried about earning money and not, in fact, doing anything more constructive than acting, I felt that I, you know, ought to be a teacher or something. But unless you're happy doing it, you don't make the other people happy. And this boy said that the cinema was a great thing in his life. So I thought I could easily go back with a safe conscience and give one third of what I earn away, either to schools. Actually, I do give it to schools because I think it's education is the most important thing of one's life, and continue doing the job that I like doing, which is acting.